The Bible played a critical role in the founding of America. In the first 200 years, beginning in Jamestown in 1607 of America's history, no book was found to be more frequently used as the Bible. The Bible, or biblical teaching, in fact, was the first textbook in one way or another in our nation's schools. Now, there are four individual gospels in the Bible, of course, not one unique unigospel, if you will. Sometimes it's not always easy to harmonize the incidents and teachings in the gospels. Today, we're going to talk with a man who has spent years integrating all four gospels into one complete narrative using the King James Version of the Bible, which, by the way, was the Bible of choice for most of the settlers in America. Of course, the early founders, like the Pilgrims and the Puritans, they used something called the Geneva Bible, which was a forerunner by about 50 years of the King James Bible. This work by Gary Scarano, the man who's put this together, this four gospels into one, has taken 33 years. The name of the book is The Jesus Gospel. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and Gary Scarano joins us now. Gary, congratulations on your magnum opus, if you will.
I love it. Thank you, Jerry. Magnum opus. Yes, it took a lot of work, but it's very much worth it.
What inspired you in the first place?
Well, I was Catholic, and I ended up going to a Bible class for the first time in my life. And at the Bible class, they really opened up the Bible to me. It was very interesting. But, you know, as a Catholic, I never really went to the Gospels or anything else. And I wanted to know the story of Jesus. I like to think of the Bible as a movie. In my mind, I picture the things happening. But when they went to the Gospels, there's like, well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I said, well, where's the story of Jesus? I don't want to jump back and forth. In what order did things happen? I don't understand. This is here, and this is here. And this is here. Well, I was new with the Bible. I didn't know much about it. And I decided to investigate. So that was in 1985 when I first took my first Bible class. And I decided then, I said, well, why couldn't we come up with a document that combines them all? Well, I know many other people have tried in many different ways. There are parallel Bibles, Jerry. I'm sure you're aware of that, that take the different places, verses, and they put them next to each other. But you know, that's not like reading a book. You know, you're reading columns here and there, and it just didn't work for me. So I was thinking, well, how could I do this now? So what I did was I literally, this is 1985. I took a Bible, an actual Bible, and I cut the verses out with scissors. This is low tech. I placed them in columns: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Real fast. Let me interrupt you. When you did this, did you basically Xerox the pages? Because otherwise, you're going to have writing on both sides. So if you're cutting out, let's say, chapter one of Matthew, well, maybe chapter two is on the other side, then you have a problem. But if you Xerox chapter one and you Xerox chapter two, then you could do what you're talking about.
You're right. This is going back to 1985. I don't remember. Yeah, I cut the pages out because I couldn't copyright them nicely, you know, put them through a copying machine. So I cut them out, copied them, and then I did that. You're actually, thank you for clarifying. And then what I did is that, you know, not since the English Bible was written or since the King James was published in 1611, has anybody taken the word for word, the Gospels of the four Gospels, and placed them in a one continuous chronological story from beginning to end. Now you can read the story of Jesus Christ in a timeline. Now, I'm not saying this is the only true timeline. I'm saying this is my best guess from all the time that I've worked on it. But it's the first time someone's been able to put this together in this way. And it took so long because my first step was to cut the Bible and paste them on four different columns. My second step was, which took the longest, I digitized the whole Bible, the King James. I assigned different colors to them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then I began mashing together word for word deleting duplicate words and putting them together in a timeline, which was very time consuming, which took a long time.
Let me stop and interrupt. I'll give an example. I'm familiar with the Bible, so here we go. In Mark, there's the story, the two stories of these two miracles intertwined. The Jairus, the synagogue ruler, he comes to Jesus. He says, "My daughter's very ill. She's close to dying. Please come and help." So they start to go. Jesus says, "Okay, yes, I'll do it." And they start to go. And then there's a big crowd. They're pressing on Jesus. And, you know, then intertwined into that story is he heals a woman with an issue of blood who was going bankrupt 12 years, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, he heals her. Then the people come from Jairus' home and they say, you know, "Why bother the teacher anymore? Your little girl's dead." All right, now here's the bottom line. You read that in the Gospel of Mark, and it's very long, and it tells all these details. You read it in Matthew, and it's really compressed. So if I were to choose, you know, to hear the full story, I would choose Mark's gospel of that particular story. So in that kind of thing, is that what you kind of did? In other words, if this gospel had, you know, a longer version of the same kind of thing, you know, and oh, it left out one particular verse that was really nice, and I'll include that from Matthew's gospel. But otherwise, Mark, you know, I'm going to drop the needle on Mark for this particular part. I'm just throwing that out there as a specific example.
That's not what I did. I included everything. Do you know the verse, by the way, that particular verse you're talking about?
Well, yeah. I know in the Gospel of Mark, it's I believe it's chapter 5 or chapter 6. It's okay. You know, it's Jairus's daughter, and it's the you know, the woman with the issue of blood. And so the reason I bring that up is because I'm very familiar. I've even preached from it, from the Markian version. And when I was reading, I'm reading afresh now the Gospels, the Bible, starting actually from January 1, reading in Matthew and reading in Genesis. Our whole church is doing that, by the way, you know, so like a few chapters at a time, a few chapters a day or whatever. And so anyway, when I saw the Matthew version of the same story, this is about chapter 8 or 9. I'm kind of ahead of the congregation on this particular front. But anyway, I thought, wow, he really condenses the story, the two stories. It's really two stories, two miracles. But, you know, the interesting thing about the whole account is you could almost palpably feel the anxiety of poor Jairus as he's waiting. Here's Jesus healing this lady. You know, and her whole life is ruined, you know, because of her bad health. And here's Jesus giving her a new lease on life. And Jairus is probably thinking, "Oh, come on, please, Lord, you know, my daughter's at the point of death." So did you find it?
So let me clarify.
Yes.
Nothing was left out.
Okay.
I didn't favor one. I used all the words.
Oh.
So the very first.
I see. So in other words, if I were to look at it in your particular version, I would see, you know, one color for Matthew and another color for Mark.
No, I don't use colors.
All right, well, whatever. You've got the Markian version and the Matthew version.
Yeah, so let me explain. On the left-hand column, I have Matthew 9:1, Mark 5:21, Luke 8:40. So those three verses are combined. And let me read you the verses, because when I read you the verses, you don't know what particular word comes from what verse, but they're combined as one verse. And let me just read it. It's just one sentence. "And it came to pass that when Jesus passed over again by ship and was returning unto the other side, unto his own city, much people gathered unto him and gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him, and he was nigh unto the sea." So instead of eliminating things, I added every word from all the different Bibles and just did not include anything that was duplicate. Does that help understand?
I guess so. So the bottom line is that if people had this, because obviously I don't have a copy of this book in front of me or whatever, but
I got to get you a copy. Yeah.
Okay, sure. So as looking at it, one can kind of get a good feeling for the chronology. What would you say to those who might say, are we sure that all the events in the Gospels are presented chronologically, you know, the way Western man, you know, thinks and those kinds of things? Middle Eastern literature is not always the same. I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that.
And I think that's a good question, because the four Gospels represent Jesus from different perspectives, okay? And it's like, let's give you an example. If you look up Babe Ruth in the records books, what they're going to do with Babe Ruth is give his most significant accomplishments first. And so Matthew is taking the look of Jesus Christ from the point of view of his kinship. Mark takes a look at Jesus Christ from the point of view of just as a man. So the four Gospels have different ways of looking at Jesus, and that's why they concentrated in different ways. And when I combine them, it just becomes into one story. You know, John is John obviously is Jesus Christ the God, and then Luke is Jesus Christ the Son of Man. So those are the four aspects. But what I did was I combined the events, and they don't follow the same chronology. Matthew gets cut up in different ways, not cut up, it gets represented. And I have this all, it's amazing, Jerry, it's all on one page. I show on one page exactly what verses are in what chapter. So,
interesting.
If anybody wants to read about the story of Jesus Christ from beginning and in a chronology, this is the book to go to, thejesusgospel.com.
TheJesusGospel.com. When you were dealing with all this, obviously John is so different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke, by design,
yes.
I'm sure, by design.
Yes.
But how did that work out in your presentation, into your book?
I'll give you a simple example. Chapters 3, chapter 4, 5, 6, and 7 do not have one verse from chapter from John. Okay, they don't have anything in common, because the synoptic gospels, as we call them, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're very common. So John doesn't occur, but John starts mixing with the other gospels as the story progresses. Now, let me explain some, Jerry. One thing I just really found extremely interesting in putting this together is the story of Jesus begins in years, okay, and then it goes to months, and then it almost goes to seconds. So as you put the chronology together, you see things are slowing down with incredible, incredible detail by design. And what you're seeing is like, you know, well, this must be really important from God's eyes. So we're seeing things in a much different way than reading the four Gospels, because we're not sure what happened where or what timeline.
But so really what you're saying is that when you get to the passion of the Christ and then, of course, the resurrection, that's what really is detailed, and that's what we need to concentrate on. Believe it or not, Gary, we only have about half a minute left. What do you want to say in conclusion about the JesusGospel.com?
Thank you. JesusGospel.com, JesusGospel.com. Get the book. It's the first book we're in. We're talking about making it into a TV series right now, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. You go on the website and you can contact me. Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate that, and appreciate all your years of labor on this. It must have been quite an undertaking.
It was.
Yeah. Okay.
God bless you.
All right. God bless you too, Gary. All right. Bye-bye.